You're listening to Chicago's original sports talk station. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends. Never ends.
The Bernstein and Golf Show.
I told you about what happened with my guy Church Bus.
We got the van at a used car lot. We think it says Alleluia Church of Scranton in Koran.
And I gave him some chicken that I had with me.
And I really, really wanted to go get him some fried chicken. And I thought, he needs some warm food to put on his belly.
I give him some, and he says, this is cold. Then there was my guy, Joakim Noholm.
I don't know about this place, man. But every time I look out my window, it's pretty depressing out here, man. It's bad. It's bad.
I told that story that he was digging in a garbage can and ripping through fast food bags and eating what was left at the bottom of the bags. And I walked over with a few dollars. And I said, "Wait, go get yourself something to eat, please." And he said, "No, I'm good." I said,
"Did I stutter?"
No, I'm good. Last night, the 7-Eleven at the corner of Irving Park and California. Now, I have an eyewitness to this one, too. I'm headed out to my car, and there's a guy outside there. And every once in a while, there's somebody there. There's one guy who was there. He usually has a sign, says out of work, whatever.
What quality would make you a good sales associate? People, person.
I say, "Hey, can I get you a sandwich? Can I get something to eat?" "Sure, I'll go and get whatever. Grab a sandwich, chips, get something to eat." He would say, "Do you have any spare change? You have any spare change?" And I said, "Can I get you something to eat?" He said, "Okay." And I said, "Okay, let me get you a sandwich." And he says, "No, I already have a sandwich." And he holds up a sandwich that he has.
The proper way to ask that question is, "May I have a sandwich?" And if he would ask me, "May I have a sandwich?" I would say, "Well, what kind of sandwich would you like?
Can you get me a couple of candy bars? You know, it's not like a treat. I was hoping that I'm thinking that if you're asking for something, maybe you're hungry and I could get you something for you or somebody else." And it just made it all weird that he wanted candy. And I said, "You know, I'd kind of rather not get you candy."
"Daddy, ask the man for some candy."
So, and he thinks about it. "Well, how am I in a negotiation all of a sudden?" He says, "How about some hot chocolate?"
"I believe in miracles."
I said, "Hot chocolate?" He goes, "Yeah, that way when I eat my sandwich, I can wash it down with some hot chocolate." And I'm like, "Fine."
More action. More excitement. More everything.
Bernstein and Golf, weekdays 1 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thank you.
It's me. I'm incapable of having a normal interaction with a homeless person asking for food. Actually, the second guy wasn't asking for food, and that was part of the problem. But I'm incapable. And even today, I have an abnormal interaction with the scam caller who says he's from Apple and he's not from Apple, and I call him on it, and he yells at me and tells me F you and calls me an F and F. Well, you called me and tried to take my password so you can steal my identity. Who wants my identity? You don't want that. There's so many better identities. You don't want any of my dumbass pictures. What are you going to do with my Apple password anyway? I might as well just give it to him. What are you going to do? Couple of stupid pictures of some food that I ate? Pictures of my dumbass children? I mean, what do you want? You gonna enjoy that? Great. Now we've got it. Now we've got the nuclear secrets. We got Bernstein's iPhone. Ooh, so much important stuff there. Oh boy. They got Shane Reardon's text or whatever. They stole all that from him. Ooh, they know now the world knows they're putting Matt Miller on at 3 o'clock on Tuesday. This hour is brought to you by Horowitz & Horowitz, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. You heard John Fox, and if you didn't, you will hear just the opening of his press conference where he made it pretty clear that he did not deny having talked to his bosses about his future, and let's just say it doesn't sound positive. So here's how things went down on Sunday. I finished up my workout, and I noticed that Ian Rappaport of NFL Network is reporting that Ted Phillips, the president of the Bears, had been making phone calls around the league. I don't know the exact wording of the report, but it was regarding possible candidates for a head coaching job. So immediately the first reaction is the reflexive terror on the part of people who are still frightened that Ted Phillips is making football decisions. Oh my God, I knew it. This is he's been pulling strings from behind the curtain the whole time, and he's going to do all this, and he doesn't know football, and the evil McCaskies are making sure that their de facto McCaskey child is doing football. Why is he making football decisions? So I figured, okay, there's probably some truth to this. Let me find out what's going on. And I spent the next period of time making a bunch of phone calls. And my wife and kids are mad at me because you're not supposed to be working. I said, yeah, look, you're always working when you do this job. And the information that I received from longtime and reliable Bears sources was that, yes, indeed, the NFL Network report was correct, that there had been phone calls made around the league, and they had been made by Bears president Ted Phillips. However, I was assured of a couple things because it didn't really jibe with what we know about the way Phillips's role has changed in, say, the past 10 years or so. There were times, especially during the Jerry Angelo administration, that Phillips was too involved with football stuff. That's absolutely true. There is no question that there were meetings, there were football things where he was involved, and people wonder what's the accountant doing in here? Well, as it has occurred over time, and to the Bears' credit, Phillips has become essentially Crane Kenny, that he is the president of the team by name, but he is in charge of the money and the business operations. There are times where the world of the financials and the football will coexist, but they're not asking him, do you like this linebacker or do you like the secondary coach? Is this the guy you want to hire, et cetera, et cetera? That's why they hired Ryan Pace. So I was assured that the calls that were being made by the Bears at the presidential level were simply to make sure that anything they might do would be pursuant to league protocol contractually. Because as you know, and this gets back to what we were talking about in transition, but as you know, there's only most of the coaching agents in the NFL have all other there's just a handful of agents, I should say. It's consolidated in a small group of high-powered agents that represent pretty much everybody. So they wield an outsized amount of power when it comes to the assembly of staffs and the currency of information around the league. So once somebody knows, you assume that everybody knows. And sometimes a guy has an extra title attached to his assistant job that changes whether it's a lateral move or a promotion, and certain language in the contract regarding offsets can be then triggered based on what job he's offered. And as I understand it, as I was told, it was the beginnings of those explorations for guys under contract whose teams may still be playing, what would be involved to try to do everything properly. It is Ryan Pace's decision on if the Bears, if and when, I am betting on when, that not if anymore, because we're starting, you heard Fox today. That was, you don't have to be a genius to know where he was coming from on that one. That when the time comes, they just want to make sure everything's in order and there's no missteps or oversteps when it comes to how they go about this, not to mention the complications of the Rooney Rule that change the order in which some of these things are done, and you can't have the understanding of an offer before an offer or any challenge to the propriety of how well you cleave to the Rooney Rule. If somebody says, well, this was just for show, this deal was already done, you can get in trouble there. So that all has to be handled. But it is going to be Ryan Pace's call. And I asked, will Ted Phillips be involved in any negotiation with a new head coach? And the answer that I received is yes. As the money guy, he was going to be involved in a negotiation of that size. That when the organization is spending that much money, from a specifically economic standpoint, he is going to be involved. However, that is only after Ryan Pace has made his decision. So I said, wait, so Pace seems solid, that there's no issue here of a full house cleaning, like a surprise where it's going to be Trestman and Emery and everybody's out the door. And to the best of my knowledge right now, not that things can't change, but as everything is going right now, I have no reason to believe that Ryan Pace's job is in any danger and that he is going to be the guy who is in charge of this next hire, that it appears the Bears are already starting to begin to work on. And I guess I should, it comes down to what we have been talking about for weeks, that in an ideal situation, I give Pace a full-blown opportunity to hire his own head coach without it being any kind of arranged marriage to which he had to agree. I didn't necessarily object to the John Fox hire because it felt like the right kind of guy at just the right time. Unfortunately, he just didn't have anything left, and circumstances didn't align with the way he wanted to do business here, and it was a failure. And if that meant I'm wrong, I'll take the L on that one and understand that it didn't work out, because there's no arguing with Fox's crappy record. But I understood at the time why the two-time Super Bowl or two-time conference winner with a history of successful turnarounds was the right guy at the right time. Or looked like the right guy at the right time. Was he? I think the answer is clear that he wasn't. So I think the right thing to do is to let a guy who has chosen his quarterback pick a coach that is going to be either it's going to be his defining moment. That when Pace makes this call, you could say the clock started ticking with the overspend and the trade up to get Mitch Trubisky, and his response is that he was all in. Well, yeah, he was all in, and there's no question now in my mind at all that he knows that this has got to be right, or the once young GM who is starting to age like a president. And maybe that's why he's not coming out in public. And well, I'll address that in a second, because I do think he should be a more visible leader, and now is the time to do it, because he's got nothing to lose. That when all is said and done, and the dust settles from this off season, it's now unquestionably about Ryan Pace. If this coaching hire goes off the rails, if this thing if we see the continuing spate of injuries, if we see more slippage when it comes to draft picks, and I think on balance, I haven't done the whole man games or a statistical spreadsheet analysis of his drafts versus his counterparts' drafts, but just speaking anecdotally, it seems like he's there with his counterparts with some hits and some misses, and he's got some decent building blocks. It's all about Trubisky, and therefore it's going to be all about this coach. So if you're Ryan Pace, what's your downside to, if you're really all in, and this is where you can kind of call him on it, and he was great with us, and the fact is he's light on his feet. He handles the media. He knows how to deflect. He knows how to laugh some stuff off or be a part of the joke. But you've got no downside. If you're really declaring, I'm all in, and those are his exact words, then be visible. Own it. You're the GM. You're 40 years old. It's all you. You're getting an opportunity to put your stamp on it. Be the guy at that press conference, and be the guy every once in a while. It doesn't have to be every week, and certainly should not be with whatever your private Soviet news agency is that handles everything internally, because nobody buys any of that when you're appearing with a team website. Just you can face some questions, because if you were really bad at it, I mean, if he talked like John Fox talks, I can understand why he's hiding, but I think he does a pretty decent job of handling it. So I think the proper thing for Ryan Pace to do would be to get out in front of it once this hire is made. Maybe if he's laying low at the moment before this all has to get done, when the time comes, step out, and I want him to own this coaching hire as much as he owned the Trubisky pick. Because the reaction to the Trubisky pick was in part, my interpretation, was in part defensiveness over what leaked out about what he gave up to get there. That he might not have had to have given up a couple of draft picks. He did give up a couple of draft picks, but either way, some of it seemed defensive that after the fact he could go and say, oh yeah, I'm all in, this is mine. Go ahead and do this and embrace that coaching hire and say to the Bears fan, this is the coach. Now it's on. And this is going to be your Super Bowl champion coach. I don't think you have a downside to saying that, because if it fails, you're out anyway. This segment brought to you by Burlington. Go back to basics at your Burlington store and score the everyday essentials you need, like socks, underwear, denim, plus towels, sheets, and stylish storage too. Burlington, style for everyone.
Can I get back to football or?
Okay. Where'd you come from? Zach Zaidman is on Twitter at Zach Zaidman. He joins us now on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. Zach, you've been around a lot of coaches. You've heard a lot of press conferences. That, to quote a significant phrase in the history of this radio station sounded to me like a man resigned to his fate.
A guy who's won 14 games in 3 years, and I'm going to play just a snippet of John Fox getting peppered with questions about his future in Chicago.
Like I've answered really probably for about the last month and a half is I don't worry about it. I've never had a job of trouble getting employment in this league, and I'm not going to start worrying about it now.
Do you have to suppress that, trying to avoid feeling that, or do you...
Well, it's not my first rodeo. You know, I've been doing this for 28 years and 15 as a head coach. So, you know, this is, I don't know, par for the course in this league. You know, I think there's a lot of speculation every year, and this year is no different. You know, they're pretty much conditioned to, you know, again, you know, we've referred to it as outside noise, you know, whether it was the 0-14 team coming to play us or could be a 14-0 team coming to play us. I think our guys understand, you know, what they got to do to focus and, you know, prepare for a game.
Chance to talk to Ryan or management about your future, and so
if I did, I probably wouldn't, you know, talk about it here. In fact, I think that'd probably be, you know, pretty positive. I wouldn't, but really, those things are for the off season, and it's always been my approach every season, and that part won't change either.
John, when you came in alongside with Ryan, I mean, were you ready for the amount of erasing that would come to this roster and replenishing with this many young players?
You know, again, I think you just kind of, you know, when you're doing this and you're in the trenches and you're doing, you know, you're doing it every day, you know, it's, you don't really know until you dig in, you know, and I think, you know, we've definitely made a lot of changes. Like I said many times, as we've gone from, you know, the oldest roster in football to one of the younger ones now. I don't know exactly where we rank, but, you know, I think we've got a good, young, talented roster. I think we still have holes. You know, I think, you know, but at least we're kind of, I don't know, to me, we're at a level playing field now.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, were you ready for the level of rebuild that this has been?
Yeah, you know, I think you're always ready, you know, for anything. You know, has it been easy? If that's the question, I'd say no.
And I don't think anyone expected the Bears to be a team with just 14 wins during the Fox tenure to this point. Part of the problem, Dan, has been the inability to keep good starting level players healthy. The second part is you can't evaluate some of the players that they've drafted because of their inability to stay on the field and give you anything. And for example, Kevin White, you know, I don't know, you can't blame John Fox for that. I don't even know if you can blame Ryan Pace for that, but the bottom line is the guy hasn't been on the field. Leonard Floyd, when he is on the field, appears to be a player that can impact a game the right way for the Bears. The problem is he has not been able to finish any of his two seasons as an NFL player, and this year's team in particular clearly suffered when he went down. You know, the Bears had built up some momentum after a terrific October, in large part because of their ability to rush the passer. But then he goes down early on during the second half of the season, and since then they haven't been able to consistently get the kind of pass rush you need to get off the field on third down, and with the defense unable to perform at the level that they did back in October, they're not equipped in the other phases of football to overcome that, and that's kind of resulted in this 5-win season.
Yeah,
so
the
far,
story, I mean, we know we can all go through the reasons, obviously, but the story is that Fox sounds like a guy who is getting ready for the last week of school.
Yeah, I think that if you've been following football around here, you know that the record combined with the fact that fans aren't going to games at Soldier Field, when that happens, that results in consequences and usually a change in leadership. To me, the question isn't just about John Fox, because I think we understand that there's going to be a coaching change at the end of the year. The question becomes, how high up are the changes that the Bears make this offseason?
Yeah, I don't have reason to believe it's going beyond head coach. I haven't heard anything that suggests that.
We didn't think that there would be any changes in terms of the general manager 3 years ago when they let Phil Emery go along with Mark Trestman. So I don't know. I can't sit here and tell you that I know exactly what's going to happen. But in terms of the overall structure of the organization, is it going to stay the same? or are they going to make significant changes after what's transpired here for the last 5 years, where they're 25 games under 500?
Yeah, again, the direct inquiries about that have resulted in a picture that, to me, looks like Ryan Pace is going to hire the next coach and remain the top football voice in the organization.
Right, but above him, are there going... And remember, the people that you're talking to, I promise you're not talking to George McCaskey, and we don't know what he's thinking in regards to the future of this franchise. You can say
this is all a problem.
You can say that you're talking to people close to him, but we don't know what he's thinking.
And
that's a big deal.
And or if he goes and talks to his mother, as we know that her decision to express her anger was what led to a house cleaning later. Nothing is set in stone, but all we can do is work the information that we can get and trusted sources as best we can. Obviously, things can change on a whim. If she decides to throw off her lap blanket and come downstairs kicking ass and taking names, then anything could be on the table. She could fire George.
Which is one of the reasons that I'm not comfortable in saying what I think is going to happen, because I really don't know what's going to happen at the end of the year. But I do expect major consequences for what's transpired here over the last 3 years. Now, going forward, what do you have here, and how do you put yourself in a position where you can improve the club? They believe they have a quarterback here who can play. How good can he be? Who knows? But I think he's going to be surrounded with an infrastructure where you try to max out every ounce of ability that this guy has. And that involves putting a structure in place where the quarterback can succeed. And that means, I think, probably an offensive-minded staff, so you don't lose somebody at the end of the year. It means a commitment during the offseason to bringing in players that are more explosive around him, that can take his skills to that next level. And that, to me, is what's needed here. You know, they do kind of luck out here, because if they do have a top-10 pick, which is expected, you know, they're likely going to be in a tough spot come Sunday in Minnesota. The Vikings are playing for the number 2 overall seed in the NFC. It's a big game for them. And they are, from a roster standpoint, superior to what the Bears are going to put on the field come Sunday. I think that if the Bears do have a top-10 pick, it's to their advantage this year, because Ryan Pace clearly made the decision last year that he felt Mitchell Trubisky was going to be better than anybody available at the quarterback position in this upcoming draft.
Correct. Last year and this year.
Correct. Which should give them the ability, because we know you're going to hear a lot of people criticize the quarterbacks as they come out and everything that's wrong with them. But every year we know that teams trade up to get the quarterback that they want. And every year these quarterbacks get taken really high.
Somebody's going to fall in love with one of them, whether it's Rosen or Darnold or Allen. Somebody is going to be the apple of somebody's eye.
Absolutely. And what I think is going to happen is the Bears are going to be in a position where perhaps they can trade down because of it and recoup some of the draft picks that they've lost over the last couple of years, making trades up in the first round to secure the guy that they wanted, both Mitchell Trubisky and Leonard Floyd. And I think that will benefit them. But they have to hit home runs in the draft, and they have to do a much better job via free agency than they have the last few years. Now, they hit a home run with Akeem Hicks. You can make a case Akeem Hicks is the best player that the Bears have acquired in the three-year Ryan Pace regime. But they have to do a much better job than they did this past offseason via free agency, when they swung and missed on Mike Glennon. Marcus Cooper Sr. hasn't played to the level that they wanted and can't get on the
Wheaton.
Marcus Wheaton
sucks.
Another player that hasn't been able to get on the field, and when he hasn't made the impact that, say, he did in Pittsburgh when he was playing with Ben Roethlisberger. Quentin Demps, because of injury, wasn't able to make an impact. We can go on and on and on, but that has to improve. You have to get better via free agency, but you can't rely on free agency to fix everything that's wrong with the team. Teams that rely on free agency in order to fix their football club from a dynamic standpoint, those teams don't win.
I'm not hung up really on free agency. I think you fill in around your drafted core with free agents. It's somebody here and somebody there when you're close to winning. The Bears need to reestablish a trajectory towards something before we really even know how to criticize free agency, because it's critical to be completely self-aware and honest with where you stand when it comes to spending free agent dollars. Otherwise, you get in cap trouble. And the good news is, the Glennon money, it didn't really cost them anything. That it didn't make sense to do, but when you really look at it, so what?
From a salary cap standpoint, it didn't cost them anything.
It really didn't.
And it didn't cost us anything. But if you're the owner and it's your money, it's costing you something. And I think that's something that has to be talked about and evaluated at the end of the season. The other thing that you need to fix, and I don't know how you go about doing it. I'm not smart enough, but the answer to adding a C schedule where you don't practice very hard in pads three consecutive days in a row has clearly not been the answer. But you cannot have, and this is to me a major deal, 19 players on IR to close out last season, 16 players on IR as we speak right now, still one more week to go in the regular season. It is tough to put together the kind of team you need, and it's tough to evaluate your young players when so many of them end up on injured reserve.
But we still don't know why they do. They have tried, and we talked about it with them, about every single aspect of the organization. They broke it down, nutrition and training and practice and games and everything else. And the truth is, right now, no one has any idea why Bears keep getting hurt.
Well, you have to find the reason. It's not good enough to say, hey, you know, we keep trying. We don't know. You have to find out. You have to find out, because it is directly impacting your ability to compete and win football games.
I understand, but a guy breaks a bone. Is that eating too much meat? Or not eating enough meat? I mean, guys not getting enough sleep? That some of the traumatic injuries, when it was Alshon Jeffrey and soft tissue, maybe you have hydration or electrolytes or some predispositions to soft tissue injuries. But concussion, broken bones, the Zach Miller stuff, that has nothing to do with anything controllable.
Every football team is going to suffer football injuries, and you mentioned a few of them, but it's more than that. You know, when you have 19 players on IR last year, 16 this year, it's not just bad luck. It's not just bad football luck. It's clearly a part. They talk about changing the culture here. That's part of the culture that needs to be changed.
What else you got, Zach?
All right, so Sunday, I don't know if you heard John Fox. Well, I'm just going to play this because I want a moment of levity here.
You know, it's probably just a little bit, you know, there's some unfamiliar area or infamiliar area, whatever that word is, non-familiar.
You're the English major. What's the correct word?
Unfamiliar.
Good.
Unfamiliarity.
See, we learned something
exactly
on the show.
Exactly what we're doing.
He had it. You know,
he got there eventually.
No, he had it right the first time, right? Didn't he start with un?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So stick with your first instinct.
And to be fair, I think overall, in terms of the coaching here, you got to give a lot of credit on the defensive side of the ball to Ed Donatell, Vic Fangio, Glenn Pyers, Jay Rogers, because it hasn't been all a failure on that side of the ball. I think you look at the defense that Mel Tucker was coordinating and the players that they had and all the changes that they had to make from a defensive standpoint. I mean, they're not the 85 Bears from a defensive standpoint now, but they are significantly better than they were when this staff took over. And they've done a really good job despite some of the major injuries that they've had on that side of the ball. The fact that there's a debate right now whether or not to bring back Kyle Fuller is a real credit to this coaching staff. The fact that they were able to help solidify the safety position where you would feel comfortable going into next year with Adrian Amos and Eddie Jackson as your safeties, that's a big deal. The fact that at the inside linebacker positions where they've had so many different injuries and suspensions, the fact that they've been able to still have a top 10 defense despite all of that, real credit to Glenn Pyers. And up front, the fact that Jay Rogers, the defensive line coach, has been able to take Akeem Hicks, who a lot of people looked at and said, you know what, there's talent there, but he's never really lived up to his potential, and that he was a borderline Pro Bowl player. That tells you a lot about the significant impact that the defensive coaching staff has made. On the offensive side of the ball, I think...
Don't even bother.
But they did hit the reset button on the rebuild from an offensive standpoint this past offseason. So there's a core of players now.
Yeah, but they're all out.
Of course.
At a minimum, the offensive coaches are all blown out.
Of course, but I think from just a player standpoint, there's... I believe there's some stuff you can build with going forward with Trubisky, Tariq Cohen, Jordan Howard, Adam Shaheen. The problem is that you have to create the infrastructure where those guys can succeed. And ultimately, when you look at Super Bowl champions, this to me is the big question going forward. There are certain positions that you must have solidified in order to win championships. Quarterback, pass rusher, cornerback, left tackle, wide receiver. How many of those positions do you feel comfortable with looking at the Bears roster going forward?
Well, I'm going to worry about the quarterback first, because none of that matters if the quarterback sucks. None of any of that. And Kyle Fuller actually has been, as well as he's played, it's been advantageous for him to have a couple of games against two horrendous quarterbacks that have not stopped throwing to the receivers he's covering.
Right, but he keeps making plays.
I agree. And also, regarding the defensive coaching, I knew this could be a year that the Glenn Pires strikes back, and I'm certainly glad that he did. When you're examining the offensive line, too, that's when anybody who's looking to take this job over, this Bears offensive line went from a clear strength to question marks across the board. Some reasons were because of dumb luck, some injury, and some of the Bears miscalculating with moving guys around, like mm-hmm. both Cody Whitehair and Kyle Long, where they made certainties into uncertainties. But I guarantee you, anybody that is taking over this job who is going to fit the profile of a Ryan Pace hire is going to have strong thoughts about who's supposed to be where across that front group.
See, and that's where the injuries really killed him, because the Kyle Long situation, you know, when they took over, Kyle Long was indestructible, and then he's kind of gotten banged up here the last couple of years, switching positions back and forth. You know, Eric Kush, losing him to that torn hamstring during the preseason, a major blow to this team. And then some of the guys that they've had filling in have gotten banged. You know, Josh Sitton gets banged up with different stuff throughout the course
but
of the
we
year.
We shouldn't
Tom
know
Compton.
Who Bradley Sowell is. We
exactly.
shouldn't know who Tom Compton
but
is.
See, that's where the injuries do matter.
I'm not saying they don't. I'm not saying they don't matter. I just don't know what's predictable and what isn't, based on way smarter people than I am, whom I've talked to, who, whether it's the medical side or the athletic training side, have yet to come up with markers or with objective data that tells you what the Bears are or are doing wrong. They are doing something wrong, I don't know.
Strength training, nutrition, all that stuff has to be evaluated. And, you know, I don't think you can come into the season again without looking very hard at those areas and saying what needs to change in the way they go about doing things. It's the players that you bring in, whether it's the stuff that you do in terms of off-season training, during the preseason, all that, how you practice, everything.
All right, quick update and then nuggets and tidbits, okay?
Well, the nugget and the tidbit was what you heard.
Okay,
right there.
So have we heard enough?
I think
are
so.
Are we good?
Don't
okay.
you?
Thank you, Zach.
Take care.
But Kevin, you're looking. Kevin.
Scoreboard update.
I hadn't quite heard enough from Zach, frankly.
Okay, but Kevin, you're looking. Kevin.
Okay.
You can feel free to call him. I mean, he's right there.
He might be busy now.
If you want to hear more from Zach just on your own, go ahead.
For the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Kevin Zipak. Looking for something to do over a holiday break? The Chicago Wolves are home for four games at Allstate Arena, including Saturday versus Rockford. Make sure to arrive early for the indoor fireworks show. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Bulls won 7 in a row, and now they've lost 2 in a row. They've got another playoff team on the docket tonight. They head up north to face the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks won the last meeting between these two teams on December 15th. Football, Bears head coach John Fox met with the media earlier today as the clock winds down on his third season in Chicago. Bears close out their year Sunday in Minneapolis. Elsewhere in the NFL, Cardinals head coach Bruce Arians responded to a report that came out today stating that he and Arizona were parting ways. Arians called the report, quote, fake news. Hockey, the Blackhawks are off again. Yeah, he said it. That's 2017. This is what life is like now, Dan. So sigh all you want. Blackhawks are
I will. Thank you.
You've got the right to do that. And Merry Christmas, by the way.
You too.
Blackhawks return to the ice Thursday in Vancouver. And that's it. This scoreboard update brought to you by Elmhurst BMW. Right now at Elmhurst BMW, get an APR as low as 0.9% on all BMW certified pre-owned models. Visit the luxury leader at elmhurstbmw.com and see your dealer for details. And MullyandHanley.com, brought to you by your local Geico agent, Tim Calcagno, at 630-671-0600. I'm Kevin Zipak, and you are listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the number one ranked sports station in Chicago. 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
My mom. Yeah. Obviously, she was a female monkey.
The gorilla.
Just an unfortunate juxtaposition of phrases. One an answer to a question, the other talking about the actual monkey.
My mom. Yeah. Obviously, she was a female monkey.
Obviously. This segment brought to you by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam can also prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at select CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies or TheraWorksRelief.com. Hope you had a very Merry Christmas. Or, as I know, the XRT was saying Happy Christmas, which is sort of a very British thing. And I don't know if they had... I was listening. Johnny Mars a couple of times said Happy Christmas instead of Merry Christmas. Is that okay, too? For the war on Christmas people? Not the more on Christmas people. Those are different. But I guess people get self-conscious around me sometimes. I've noticed it because people feel like they'll say Merry Christmas. They go, oh, wait, I didn't mean to say Merry Christmas. It's, like, it's okay. It's fine. I take absolutely no offense. I will have a Merry Christmas. I enjoy Christmas. Just because I don't believe that Jesus Christ was God's son, it doesn't mean I can't have a nice day and enjoy the day that everybody else is enjoying. It's okay. It's still Christmas for everybody. It's still a festive day off with really good songs and lots of food and excuses to eat. And boy, following some people on Twitter with the amount of day drinking that goes on, boy, hey, more power to you. For those of you who can day drink, I don't know how you do it. I don't know where that gene comes from or whether that's learned or whether that is something.
You just do it. What do you mean you don't know how to do it? You like to drink, right?
There's a way. My problem is that you have a couple, you feel good.
Then you have a couple more.
No, you have some to eat and you go to bed. And it just, if you start drinking at 11 in the morning, by the time it's 2 o'clock, your day is over.
We got to get a nap in there at some point. You know, I'm with you on the whole, you know, you have a few and then you go to sleep, but you can just, you know, refresh your body for like a 90-minute, 2-hour nap and you wake up, you feel good. You don't feel good, but
there are some people, like, for example, when we're on vacation, my wife will sit poolside and, you know, sip on a Bloody Mary or whatever, the Michelada. She loves those Michelada style beers or the, you know, where you take the beer and you put all this Tabasco and stuff in it. And, you know, a couple of those, again, poolside, I'm going to nod off. And I guess that's okay in the world of some people, but it just makes me feel all weird. I learned my lesson on, what day was this? I think it was sophomore year of college. And it was a football game. It might have been the homecoming game and the day of the annual Duke blue and white scrimmage where they fill up Cameron Indoor Stadium to watch the first practice. So it was, you know, it was before like March Madness became a thing. This was your big practice and everybody's out there drinking for the football game. And it was all these Southern gentlemen with their tweed sport coats.
Roll down Tide.
Yeah.
Mint juleps.
There was some of that. And there's not as much of
a
that.
A jug with three X's on it.
Guy playing the washed up bass, blowing into the empty jug. No, this was very much picture like foghorn, leghorn sounding guys. Everybody sounded like Jerry Richardson. They called him Mister. And this was old Southern money and the Southern fraternity men and their dates in their dresses with their hair sprayed with Aquanet. And, you know, the guys were all drinking Beam and Coke. And I'm like, well, I'm here with whatever the guy's name is, Eldridge John Poindexter III. And
Aloysius, I do declare.
Yes, that's what it was. But Jeffrey Beauregard has poured you a bourbon and Coke, young man. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? It's a pretty good bourbon and Coke here. And I'm there in a T-shirt and sweatpants. And these guys are like a, you know, perfectly done Windsor knot. And like everybody looks like George Will. And they're getting ready to go to the football game. And meanwhile, it's like, it's not even kickoff yet. And I can barely get a sentence out of my mouth. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to make it to the basketball game tonight. This is brutal. And these guys were drinking me, you know, two drinks to my one. And we're just fine.
Well, we're headed on into the football game now.
maybe have ourselves an early dinner before supper, and then we'll take in the basketball practice. A scrimmage, I believe, is going on tonight. And these guys are, you know, 18 years old, and they sound like this. But, that's when I realized that's something either you have or you don't. And I guess Shane, according at least anecdotally, had himself quite a day yesterday.
I had quite a bit of limoncello last night with a good old friend for a Christmas party. A little bit too much limoncello, but you learn your lessons.
This was this batch of the Infusino limoncello I did not think was as... It was delicious. It wasn't quite as potent as some we've had in the past.
Last year was a lot more alcohol-y. This mm-hmm. one was a lot more lemony.
Yes. And the only... I want to say the famous limoncello scandal. Was it Danny DeVito who did a morning television appearance where he was completely discombobulated and everyone was wondering why he wasn't making sense, and he blamed it on a limoncello binge with George Clooney? You can look it up, but I believe that Clooney apparently like went public and took ownership of it and apologized. It basically took the blame for over-serving limoncello to Danny DeVito, trying to mitigate the blowback from an ill-advised morning show appearance.
2006 on The View.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. His own brand of limoncello.
Clooney's or DeVito's?
DeVito's.
Oh, then maybe that was on purpose, if it was his own brand. But he's not making it in a bathtub like he really should be. He's probably just put his name on it and some company is doing it, right?
More than likely.
Yeah, it's just either way, it's not a hangover you want. But good for Clooney. That's sort of a guy move to come through. Nope, my fault. I overserved him. It's my bad. Sorry about that. And it's Clooney who says he won't get on Twitter because of his evenings, right? Did he say that?
I think so. Yeah, and it's. I wish I followed the George Clooney school of social media, but I do not. Thankfully, I didn't tweet anything incriminating last night.
You're the content creator. You need it as an outlet.
That's a name assigned to me, not made up on my own.
Wait a second. You have some. Don't.
Okay, but I have. You've embraced adopted it. I've absolutely adopted the Content Factory. But this isn't like a Shane thought up world. This was Jason Goff.
Okay.
I'm sure he was just saying it ironically and you took it to heart.
Hey, get off my back, man.
Hey, get off my back, Kevin. Stop that. The texters are weighing in here. The 847 says the day drinking gene comes with people that celebrate Christmas. In college, my friends could not go out all day, but our Gentile friends were out from 10 a.m. to 3 a.m. and we got brunch. The 708 says, thanks for taking the fun out of drinking. And the 309 says, what would you say is an appropriate window to wish our Jewish friends a happy Hanukkah? Well, probably during Hanukkah. And it's over. So you can still say happy holidays, I guess, or happy New Year. But yeah, Hanukkah came to an end.
Thank you, Mr. Trump,
for bringing back Merry Christmas. It's about damn time. This segment brought to you by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. Fast-acting foam can also prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at select CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies or TheraWorksRelief.com. We are going to have a guest at the top of the hour, Matt Miller, and there's a game coming up later this afternoon that might involve some potential NFLers, right? Is that today's at Northern Illinois and Duke in the Detroit? Well, we had him on. We had Herman Moore on, and he was talking about it, and it is the Quick Lane Bowl.
How could you have forgotten?
I remembered because I looked.
4:15 today. Set your alarms.
I had forgotten, and then I remembered that it's the Quick Lane Bowl, and it takes place in Detroit, and it's all good. And we'll see what Matt Miller has already seen regarding NFL prospects and what he may see, but I want your thoughts on the Bears. 312-644-6767. I was still amazed by the Twitter brush fire from the NFL report about Ted Phillips making calls, and immediately there's the knee-jerk response, and I get it. You don't want Ted Phillips making football decisions. I don't want Ted Phillips making football decisions, and you know who else doesn't want to make football decisions anymore? It's Ted Phillips. It's not something that particularly interests him. And if you're concerned about his standing on the business side and how that commingles with football, I think that's a reasonable stance. If you're worried about would he come in at some point and say, that's too much money to spend on a quarterback, or that's too much money to spend on a coach. We don't have that kind of money. If he is the top financial guy, he's going to have a job in that regard. But I don't know of any case, and I asked, I don't know of any case where he's come in and said, nope, can't do it, too much money, can't get Mike Glennon. Because then didn't you want somebody to maybe say, well, what are you spending all that money on Mike Glennon for? Because he kind of sucks, and you're going to draft a quarterback if we understand the plan here. But there is some truth that I made the comp to Crane Kenny for what his role has become with the Bears. But the truth is that Theo Epstein has his own budget for which he answers directly to ownership. And Crane Kenny has the business side budget for which he answers directly to ownership. And in the Bears case, that remains commingled, that even though Ryan Pace is the top football voice and the top football opinion and the football decision maker, I do not believe that he has autonomy when it comes to control of purse strings. So in that sense, there will always be a role technically that goes over to the football side. It's just people freak out. And the other thing that happened, and I almost, I did, I actually had to shut my laptop after a while. When you decide that your level of input in the Bears conversation, if you actually think that it makes you sound knowledgeable to insist on some variation of the McCaskies have to sell the team or the problem is the McCaskies, know this. It's not original. It's not interesting. And it also doesn't do anything to say that or think that. It could be true, but until you actually believe there's a possibility that that team is going to be sold to the magical new owners, and apparently this city is going off the change in the Wirtzian generational ownership from darkness into light, from the old man to Rocky, and to see the plan that was in place where Bill wasn't even in the ground before everything was being changed and that plan was in full effect. When Tom Ricketts took over from Sam Zell and the endless years of Tribune ownership, that there was an understanding that something was going to improve there. I can't guarantee that in your wildest dreams, and this is what I always ask when somebody's like, hey, you want to know the truth about the Bears? It's the McCaskies. That's the real issue. And I say, okay, well, what would be your ideal ownership? And the fact is you have no idea. You have no idea. There's somebody could buy this team who could be a complete incompetent and with no investment, no ownership, no connection. You could have the worst possible combination, where you could get somebody who buys the team that doesn't really care about their connection to the city, doesn't care about their history, and doesn't care about winning, and maybe is entirely, entirely driven by profit motive. That could happen. So understand that it doesn't, just because you had a great outcome with an ownership change in the Blackhawks, and that was generational. I mean, you're assuming that maybe they hand it down to the next generation of McCaskies. They don't want it. There's nobody champing at the bit within that family. They want it sold. They want it sold so they can finally get this money that has been nothing but theoretical equity. Because for all this talk of the rich McCaskies, yeah, there is an asset that is family owned, but it's not a liquid asset for a lot of these people. And there is not some next generation that is waiting, that's just clamoring to say, all right, I've got this thing set. I don't think there's a McCaskey equivalent to Rocky Wirtz, is my larger point. And I don't know that there's an equivalent to Tom Ricketts, who would have deep pockets on the personal or individual side in a way that would allow the business to be expanded beyond what the NFL allows them to do. You think somebody's going to come in here and say, look, I am building a brand new stadium. If you really wanted an outside-the-box Bears ownership, if you wanted somebody to say, look, we're not going to be tied to Soldier Field anymore, and we don't care about the ghosts that played in there, and we don't care about the 85 Bears, and we're going to find a spot in this city, and we are going to build a palace, that we are going to build an absolute state-of-the-art kick-ass stadium with all the bells and whistles. I think that everybody's on board with that. Because people who've experienced the whole Soldier Field thing and the whole city contract and city management thing of that, I do believe that we've gotten past some of the nostalgia ever since they put the new bowl in there and got rid of the columns. But nobody cares about damn Red Grange. Half this town doesn't even remember watching Walter Payton. Seriously. Because I'm old and my memories of watching Walter Payton are fading. And every time I see the highlights now, I think the highlights look older and older and older. And here, 630 and the 217 both chimed in saying, you just described Derek Jeter in Miami. Yeah, great name, great group, but just as incompetent as anybody else. And understanding, apparently, when we heard that interview with Rob Manfred, that when he took over that team, it wasn't, again, some magical get out of owner bad ownership jail free card. It was, I'm going to start selling off assets and we're going to turn this thing around and make an enormous profit on it, even though we really don't care about the city. We know we got a sweetheart stadium deal that's already built for us. What could happen? And everybody floats the name of Mark Cuban. Why is Mark Cuban always the go-to for, again, magic, successful, save our team kind of ownership? He's actually, when asked about that, he has been asked to not be viewed as that guy because there's certainly no guarantees there. So this is, I'm venting, but I heard a lot of it all weekend. It's akin to the call that we take here of everybody's talking about the coach. How come nobody talks about the general manager? Well, they do. All the time. And there's an understanding that the ownership of the Bears is lacking when it comes to vision, when it comes to setting a win or else standard as far as the way they do their business. But I'm not sure that there is some reasonable, visible, viable alternative that should be exciting you and tantalizing you with possibility when it's all stuff you're just making up. John is in Springfield. He's on the score. Hi, John.
How you doing? Okay. I know we're talking about ownership and the McCaskies a little bit, but I wanted to go back to John Fox for real quick. I know he's probably going to be out of a job, but
yep.
Bruce Arians just got fired from Arizona. What do you think the chances are?
He did not just get fired from Arizona.
He's going to be out the door.
There was a report that he's going to be out the door, and he has called that report fake news. He says that is not the case.
Okay, say he is out the door, like John Fox is probably going to be out the door. What are the chances that, I know he's an offensive-minded head coach, what are the chances he can come to Chicago?
Do you want him?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he did great things with Arizona at the beginning of his tenure. Now he has Drew Stanton at the helm and an old Carson Palmer. I mean, if he gets a young Mitch Trubisky and a decent amount of draft picks, I mean, if you go out and draft Calvin Ridley, put some weapons around Mitch Trubisky. It's the offense.
So you've already got the draft pick?
I mean, I'm just going off projections right now. They need a wide receiver. They need
three wide receivers.
Yeah. I mean, Cam Meredith comes back healthy next year. Who knows what he can do?
Well, he's probably a functional third wide receiver.
So Calvin Ridley coming out of Alabama. Julio Jones came out of Alabama.
Oh, so you're saying Calvin Ridley's Julio Jones?
No, I'm saying Alabama's had some decent wide receivers come out of their program. Why not go big on Calvin Ridley? I mean, who else do you see in the first round that they could go after?
I have not done any draft homework yet. We haven't even started the NFL playoffs yet.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears aren't going to be in it, so might as well look forward to it. I was just wondering about Bruce Arians. I mean, I think he's a viable option.
Okay, he's still employed, however.
Yeah, I understand that, but look, what are the Cardinals doing right now?
I don't have my finger on the pulse of what the Cardinals are doing right now. Appreciate the call, John. I wouldn't be against them interviewing Bruce Arians. I just think the time to hire Bruce Arians was probably 4 years ago, or 5 years ago, when you had the opportunity to hire Bruce Arians, and he was in the building. And was it Arians, his objection to having to do a press conference mock-up, that he said that's enough already and went on to other things? It's not Jeff Fisher, let's put it that way. It's not automatic, absolutely no, oh my God, definitely not, get him away. Like, when I hear Jeff Fisher, that to me would be football death. No thank you. So the 847 says, a stadium like Lucas Oil, nice retractable roof. Can't sell tickets in December for a terrible team in the cold. The myth of bear weather died years ago. Yeah, it isn't just that. I really think we've moved past the whole Soldier Field history. I think we're enough time gone, we're enough generations in, that if you're playing out your fantasy, if you're really playing that out of the whole idea of the new ownership's going to make everything better, part of the everything better is a real damn stadium. I'd go back. If they get an indoor stadium or retractable roof, I would actually go back and watch a game. And it's not that I've actively like been boycotting. I just haven't wanted to enough. I think having a nice building where you could have enough bathrooms and have enough access and have enough parking and be warm enough would be the kind of thing where I would actually consider going to a Bears game that I haven't been to a Bears game since I was paid to go. Because it just, the equation breaks when you look at what it takes to get there, what you're committing. And even if I could get the tickets for free, I wasn't going to go. Because there's just no point. And sitting in the cold sucks. And I used to think that there was something to that, because I went to almost every game and sat in the cold no matter what. And it felt like a badge of honor. You know what it was? It was stupid. Phil in East Chicago, you're on the Score.
Hey.
I hope you had
a great holiday.
I did. I had a lovely Christmas. I hope you did, too.
Okay. Your previous callers called in and stuff, and then you asked the question, who would be a great owner for the Chicago Bears?
Well,
the McCaskies could be a great owner. That's why I'm calling in. I mean, I drive a taxi cab, and my last three drafts, I picked players in the spots where the Bears could have picked, are actually playing good in the NFL right now. Why can't a McCaskey watch college football, watch what's going on in the NFL?
They don't do that. But why? Because they don't try to get involved in the actual day-to-day football operations. That's why they hired Ryan Pace.
The reason I own a taxi company is because I knew the business. I wouldn't open a bakery, but if I did open a bakery, I would learn how to run a bakery. That's my point. They have no interest in wanting to learn how to do this, you know? That's my call, you know? And
if they did, people would think the owners are meddling and they would want them. Michael McCaskey tried to do some of that, and everybody got angry when he was doing press conferences on draft day and sounding like an idiot. And everybody was clamoring for the McCaskeys to hire real football people.
Okay, and like your previous caller with the draft and stuff, you're right. They need, I would say, at least two wide receivers.
They need three wide receivers.
It's too early to be picking these players. I mean, but I've watched college football. There's plenty of good wide receivers out there. Besides that.
All right, Phil, sounds like you're off to a terrific day. He hung up. It's actually, when you look at what's happening with rideshare, it is not a great time to be an owner of a traditional taxi company.
I would love to own a $75,000 taxi medallion right about now. That is lucrative.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
No, it's really traditional. If you talk to people who are in the traditional taxi business, these are frightening times with the expansion of rideshare and what's going on with the regulations or lack thereof that allow for a different business model that is outflanking the old one.
I took an Uber last night, 7 miles, and it cost me $9. It would have cost me at least $25 in a taxi. What are you doing?
I don't know. You don't. I guess they used to say that there was a licensed, bonded, et cetera, but then most of the rideshare companies have reacted to that by also saying our drivers have to be held to the same standards legally, et cetera.
Do you even really care if the guy driving you around is licensed or bonded, though? I mean, a driver's license is good. But past that, I really don't give a damn who's driving me around.
Yeah, but the difference is you're not sending your kids on those cars by themselves sometimes. It's not me. My concern isn't for me. I think I can handle myself. But, you know, my daughter is at an age now where she and her friends are doing it on their own. And that's where I do have some concerns about legal liability and how the drivers are vetted.
Why don't you just buy her a car?
Not yet.
Oh. She's old enough to drive?
She is in driver's ed now.
And are you terrified?
Yes. Short answer.
Start the buses!
Asked and answered.
Asked and answered.
Yes. Because, well, I always say this. If my sister can drive, my daughter can drive.
Wow. That's, I don't know your sister, but that seems like a shot.
The worst. And she lives in Brooklyn now, so she doesn't drive, which is great for Brooklyn
society.
It was like it was like an accident every 3 days. I mean, it was unbelievable. And the worst combination, I love her dearly. She is had the worst combination of complete lack of a natural sense of direction and an amazing ability to be distracted by the smallest things.
Seems like she should have never been given a driver's license to begin with.
I don't know.
This is oversight by the state of Illinois.
I don't know how she got one in the first place, but she was able to drive for a while. And it's my mantra. If my sister could drive, my daughter can drive. I just need to be saving up because every time the phone rings, I'm going to think, how many, where is everybody okay? And